Last week, I told you about the Charter for Compassion worldwide effort to try to make us all accountable for bringing compassion into the world and acting upon that principle of compassion when we're confronted with our own challenges. And the Charter for Compassion that we heard about was released on Thursday on the website. They printed out the words, the actual words of the charter, and I made copies of that. I put some in the Welcome Center if you're interested. It's just one page of reading on the website that's in the bulletin. I signed on Thursday when the charter was released to just read it and see, and they had a place where you could sign your affirmation of the charter. And there'd only been maybe 50, 100 people who had signed it at that point, so I signed my name to that. I checked last night to see how many people had signed on to the charter, and the total now, just since Thursday, 12,571 people. So there are that many people who are trying to live the a life of compassion in the world, and I encourage you, if you want to be part of it, you don't have to sign it, but just read about it. On the website, there are also a place where people can send in their stories about acts of compassion that either they have witnessed or been a part of in the world, and it's very it's amazing when you read how there are such good things happening. We always hear the bad news, but go to the Charter for Compassion and read some of the good news that's happening out there in the world. There's 179 stories online so far, and I mentioned last week, if you had a story to share or you know something you want to let, email it to me here at the church. I want to compile some of those stories myself and share them with you. I think we indeed need to hear the good news of the world and the good things that are happening out there. So, quick update on that. Our scripture lesson from this morning comes from the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter. And it's a story that we usually only hear on Maundy Thursday, and not even every year, because it's only found in the Gospel of John. It's the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet during the Last Supper. So I'm just going to shake things up a bit and read that now as we're getting ready to kick into Advent, not even Lent, but to tell that story again as we listen to it and hear the words that God's holy word speaks to us today. Would you join me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you'll understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." So then Simon Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For Jesus knew who was to betray him. And after he'd washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to the table and said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the ones who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Having just celebrated my 55th birthday, I can say now that I've spent nearly half my life as an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. I have learned so much in this quarter century of time. I couldn't begin to share it all, but here's a small sampling of the things I've learned. Ministers do not only work on Sunday morning. Life is a gift that passes much too quickly. And perhaps most important, when something awful happens, the last thing we want to ask is the question, why me? Because none of the answers to that question are any good. Why me? I must be a terrible person. Why me? I must have done something to deserve it. Why me? Because my faith is lacking and God is testing me. You know, I don't believe that any of those answers are the right ones, especially the last. And the older I get, the more I think that instead of asking that question when something bad happens to us, why me, we'd be better off to ask, why not me? And I don't mean in a sad sack, poor me kind of way, like, oh, that terrible thing happened, well, why not me? I don't mean it that way at all. I mean it as an acknowledgement that tough things happen in all of our lives. And most of the time, it's not about deserved or undeserved, fair or unfair, right or wrong. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. It's the way it's always been. It probably, well, maybe not if we all change, be the way things will be. But it's just the way life is. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It says that right in the Bible. So instead of asking the question, why not me, in relation to circumstances that happen to us, I want to flip it around just a bit. I want to ask the question as a motivating question, a call to action, a chance to make life more livable for someone else who has been dealt a tragic hand. There's something that needs to be done out there in the world. Somebody's hurting. Who can help? Why not me? That's how I mean to ask the question. We're wrapping up this fall sermon series on living the good life, and the stewardship drive is drawing to an end, although I have been assured that we're not ending our stewardship mission and outreach, but I'm not sure we're going to get the joy of seeing the guys in the camel hair coats, the Blues Brothers, showing up every week. Maybe so. But those guys and their team behind the scenes have done a great job. They've been encouraging all of us to pledge gifts of time, talent, service, mission, not just our dollars and cents, but a stewardship of gifts and service. So today, as we talk about becoming a servant and the stewardship drive, as we see the opportunities we have for becoming a servant, that question, why not me, kind of ties it all together. How do we become a servant in the name of Christ? Ask the question, why not me? You may have to get your hands a little dirty, but in a good way. Now, Jesus wasn't above getting his hands dirty. The account of him washing the disciples' feet during the Last Supper shows him doing that, literally, getting his hands dirty. Now, you think your feet look bad after a day at work or school? Imagine what the disciples' feet look like, walking around in sandals all day, every day, rarely taking a bath at all. The locker room after gym class smells like a rose garden compared to the small room where Jesus was serving supper that night. So when Jesus got up from the table in the middle of dinner and announced that he was going to wash the disciples' feet, it just set them back on their heels. They'd never heard of such a thing. "No way, Lord, not on your life," wails Simon Peter, just aghast at the very thought of it. "Oh, yes, on my life," Jesus said, "and on your life, too." And when he had finished, he said, "I have set you an example. Serve one another as I have served you. Get your hands dirty. Do something for someone else. Instead of asking the question, why me, ask the question, why not me? Who will be a servant in the manner of Christ? Why not me? Who can put a roof over the head of the homeless? Why not me? Who can volunteer to work a shift at PADS once a month or spend a Saturday building homes for Habitat for Humanity as a way to provide shelter? Why not me? Whose job is it to feed the hungry? Why not me? Who will fill a grocery sack with food to restock our food pantry so one family can be fed? Why not me? Who will make a difference in a child's life? Why not me? Who can give an hour on a Sunday morning to teach a Sunday school class? Why not me? Who will take a tag from the deacon's angel tree and buy a gift for a child who otherwise gets nothing for Christmas? Why not me? Wildwood Presbyterian Church has endless opportunities for you to become a servant of Christ, whether it's reaching into your pocket or giving of your time. We support extra care for families living with Alzheimer's, food pantry, serving the hungry in Lake County, mission trips for youth and adults, and you can support the youth mission trip next week by putting in a bid at the silent auction. We house once a week the Cancer Wellness Center North, a nonprofit organization that provides education, support, and wellness programs free of charge to people diagnosed with cancer and their families. They meet here every Tuesday night. There's a safe place, a Waukegan shelter for abused women and children. Community Youth Network, which provides services for troubled youth. The Crop Walk, our annual walk for Lake County and international hunger projects. Habitat for Humanity, building homes for low-income residents in North Chicago. Health Reach, a Waukegan medical clinic for low-income people. Mano a Mano, Hispanic Community Center in Round Lake. PADS, the network of homeless shelters, which is housed in our church every Tuesday night from October through April. The Busy Bee Daycare Center in Waukegan, providing safe, quality child care for low-income families. The Zechariah Sexual Abuse Center for victims of sexual violence and their loved ones, and which provided hope and healing for our own family and for this church. When there is a call for help, ask yourself the question, why not me? What can I do? Everybody cannot do everything for everyone, but everybody can do something for someone somewhere. Greg and I took a couple hours off a few weeks ago and took a drive up to Lower Wisconsin. It's the one gift I ask for my birthday every year. Well, that and chocolate. Dark chocolate, okay. We go for a drive to see the glorious fall leaves, to take a break from our usual routines, to breathe in the beauty of the world around us. And sometimes, this is how wild and crazy we get, we take those little country roads that without even a destination in mind. It's just like, that road looks interesting. Let's drive down that and see where it leads. And so we were driving around and we saw a sign for a Presbyterian church just over the border here in Wisconsin. And we thought, well, let's just drive down the road and see how far that church is. And of course, we wanted to check out what it looked like because we're sort of into that, you know, like, let's check out what that church looks like. And we didn't even get out of the car. We just drove around the parking lot and looked at the place from the outside. And then as we prepared to exit back onto the road that had led us there, we noticed this sign sitting just along the curb. It says, entering the mission field. You know, I would like to see that sign at the exits, every exit here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church, entering the mission field. And when we come here to church to be fed and inspired, and then we return to our lives as servants of the living Christ in the mission field that is the very world around us. And you saw those kids get excited about that wheelbarrow of coins and cash, and think of all the mission we're going to do with that money. It is awesome what we are able to do. Every penny, nickel, and dime is going to add together to make some wonderful things happen. You know, if we could add up the offerings of our hands and hearts, I think that wheelbarrow would be overflowing. Well, maybe it wouldn't make such an amazing racket as all those coins crashing against the metal. But if we gathered the gifts of our time, I have a hunch that the sound of that collection, the sound that makes in heaven, probably the most beautiful music you've ever heard. We are on a mission from God, and the whole world is our mission field. Now, who will become a servant for Christ? Why not me? Indeed, why not? Pray with me. Lord, we can't all do everything for everyone, but we can all do something for someone. The opportunities are without limit. May our hearts be open to wherever you are calling us to be your servant in the world that is indeed our mission field, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, to bring the light into the darkness, to share with gratitude the blessings that overflow within us and in this church family. Lord, inspire us to ask that question when there is a need. Who can help? Why not me? And let all that we do be done because we are servants of the living Christ who gave himself for all of us, who showed us what it means to be a servant, who is our living example of being called to be your servant, called to be a child of Christ. Lord, send us forth into your mission field. In the name of Christ, who is the light of our world, and let all God's servants say, Amen.